We now have a discussion on personnel policy update. Monica Wheelis.
Monica has a viral respiratory infection, so she won't be here this morning. Laura Lee's going to read the highlights that are in your book and talk about each one of these changes. It was recommended, I think, by one of the directors, I think it was Suzanne, a couple of meetings ago, that, you know, you guys need to continually look at these. We've taken that to heart. And one of the things that came to light this time was, as I do the outbriefs for all the people, folks, was the on-call procedures. And the guy says, and we had an incident where a guy was on call and he worked all night at 3 o'clock in the morning, stopped and at the 24-hour store and bought him a couple of beers and had a wreck. And that's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is that the people now then who, as you try and as we try to use management techniques and because of location to spread our expertise, we have a couple of problems. The competition for qualified, permitted guys and ladies is getting very, very high. And so they come to work for the BRA, and if the BRA's money is not good enough, they're looking to go someplace else. And what happens is we get them trained up, and this is almost industry-wide, we get them trained up, and then they've been driving for 100 miles because that was the first and the only job they could get. Now then they can get a job 10 miles from home, and they go do that. Or they get in the construction business, and they're making, in one case, I am doubling my salary, and so for me and my family, I have to go do that. So trying to keep these folks in line, trying to keep them competitive is a full-time job, and we have to watch it. We have to watch it all the time. And we also went through and made some things to make it clear in our view. And Laura Lee's going to talk about that.
Okay, as Phil said, this is our attempt to try to get an annual review of the personnel policies and make those changes that we felt were beneficial or necessary. So if I can, I'd like to just run through the topics real briefly and tell you what the intent was. The first fundamental change is we added a new section 317 to the personnel policies, or at least we proposed to add that. This proposed section includes an addition of an initial and introductory period, and we contemplate a 90-day period for each new hire. The introductory period is going to provide the employee the opportunity to come in and demonstrate their ability to be able to achieve a satisfactory result with regard to the job performance. It also provides the supervisor the opportunity to evaluate the employee's performance and ascertain whether or not things are going well. At that point, the supervisor has a responsibility at the end of the 90 days to sit down with that employee and make the determination as to whether the employee really is working out or isn't working out. It seems that from time to time, 90 days slips by and time goes on, and we find that we have supervisors will come to us and say, gosh, you know, this employee has really sort of been not particularly good since the beginning, and I probably should have done something earlier, but it just slipped by me because I had a lot of other things. This forces a 90-day evaluation, and if at that time it's not working out, it provides us the opportunity to do one of two things. You can terminate the employment at that juncture in time, or in the alternative, if the supervisor deems it appropriate, they can extend it and have another introductory window. So that's the purpose of that policy. But I did want to point out that the policy clearly contemplates a mandatory review of and determination of performance at the end of that introductory period. The next section that we've done is we've had an addition of both section 5.12 and 5.13. The first deals with on-call compensation, and the second deals with call-out compensation. This addresses a little bit the issue that Phil was talking about. These proposed policy additions will serve to compensate employees while they're on call and when they're called out to perform services. When we talk about on-call, there's certain times where employees have responsibility. Let's say it's, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning and a pipe breaks. This is the guy that's going to get called out to go to that location and to take care of that problem. The fact of the matter is most governmental employers recognize that when you're requiring an employee to be on call, even though he's sitting in his house, there are limitations on his activity that weekend. He can't consume alcohol. He shouldn't go out of the operating range to where his response time is sufficient. Those sorts of limitations. And so based on that,
Let me just make an anecdotal thing there. We had a young man that was Sunday afternoon. He had barbecue in his backyard, had a couple, three beers, went to bed, and woke up, got on call, and whenever he was tested the next morning, he flunked the alcohol test. It was still there. So what this is attempting to do is to put him at a thing, say, we are paying you for this thing, and if you do violate it, well, then boo on you versus, you know, I just happened. And did it happen that way? The blood alcohol sample said it did. He denied that he had it later on. So, you know, you don't never know.
I mean, really what it does is it allows us to place some specific requirements on folks. You know, we're going to be able to say, if you're on call, you have to have a certain response time. If you're on call, you can't have alcohol. And those will be done effectively by procedure. But in compensating folks, it creates a greater equity. And from what we can tell, you know, we've polled other organizations, and most organizations are paying some form of on-call time. We estimate the cost to incorporate on-call about $78,000 annually. The estimated cost to incorporate call-out pay, and that's the additional fee they get when they are actually called out, is about $15,000 annually. Staff believes that we'll be able to absorb the additional cost through our current budget via various cost savings. And the basis for these calculations is we currently have 20 employees throughout the basin that would be in an on-call status from time to time. It contemplates paying approximately $75 a week for that on-call service, and that we will pay under the proposed, at least where we think we'll go with the procedure, an additional $3.75 per hour of call-out time for time work. Now, these specific numbers are not embedded in the policy because they may change from time to time and would be done by procedure, but I wanted to mention those so you'd at least be familiar with where the numbers were coming from. The next changes, those are additions. The next changes are basically amendments to the policies. Under 8.04, drug and alcohol tests, we deleted the reference to return to duty drug tests, and we did that really to be consistent with what's contemplated as appropriate standards for drug testing under, you know, Texas employment law standards. Basically, when we have a situation where we have an employee who is in an accident, we do the testing at that time. And so we feel like that is more pressing than doing return to duty. And I think what we're seeing is a trend. At a time, there used to be a lot of return to duty testing, drug testing, and there's been a substantive reduction in that because of concerns about infringement on folks' constitutional rights. So, irrespective, based on what we can tell, the trend is in employment law, we've sort of moved toward this specific language in the section, which still allows us the type of testing that we've currently employed. Section 16.01, General Travel Expense Payment Policy. That policy has been changed. It used to say 5 business days, and it's been changed to 30 business days. My understanding is that the finance folks advised Monica that the 5-day requirement really should be changed to, quote, within 30 business days to be consistent, I guess, with the finance policies. And if anyone has any questions, they can speak to that more directly. Section 17.09, 457 Deferred Compensation Plan. It changed the 457 plan information to reflect that the IRS maximum deferral rates, it basically puts it in sync with what is the current IRS maximum deferral rate, and it took out reference to the employer match. Section 18.14, personal time off policy or PTO policy. We added an intro period and classified the number of PTO carryover days and when the PTO days are awarded. The key purpose that we had here was we wanted to clarify that PTO days will be awarded annually on the employee's full-time anniversary employment date. So there was some confusion about whether employees came in and on the day they walked in the door, they automatically had these 20 PTO days. And by putting together the new policy, we believe that the new schedule, Monica believes that helps clarify a little bit of what the expectations are. So that was the purpose of changing the PTO section. 18.15, termination of employment. We added information regarding how earned call-out time would be paid upon employee's termination. Being that we added that as a type of compensation, we needed to bring it forth in the termination payment section so we'd be consistent. And it basically provides that's 100% paid. And it's paid because that's accrued time. It's time that they've actually earned. So that's why it would be paid at 100%. Finally, Section 19.01, General Policy on Holidays, added Veterans Day as an approved holiday. And that is a summary briefly of all the policies, and I'm prepared, I think, to answer questions on almost any if y'all have some.
I may be the Aggie in me, but if you add Veterans Day, that came out to be 11 days, did it not? If you count what you have listed there. I ran out of fingers when I started with Labor Day.
May well be. I didn't do the counting, so I'm not certain.
Are there 11 paid holidays or 10?
It's 11.
I had it confirmed by a non-Aggie.
I am.
You're probably right.
You are an Aggie. That's great, too.
All right, then we'll need to change. Then we would additionally need to amend with clarification. The question goes to why we really need to have the number in the policy. Maybe the cleaner thing is, as I've got a copy of what the policy actually says, if it was to say, it is the Brazos River Authority's policy to grant, strike the number 10, paid holidays each fiscal year to all regular employees, the following holidays will be observed. And that way, if it changes or goes down or up, we don't need to worry about it being stable. So I think we can add that to the resolution, just delete the number 10.
Are you going to read the
resolution? Judy's going to read the resolution. I'm just writing it.
Any other discussions?
Okay, I guess we need to read the resolution.
But he's going to read it because she does a better job than I do. She's on her way. That's 20 days.
May I ask one other question?
Yes, sir.
On the paid, the PTOs, you say they're granted on the anniversary date?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Does that mean that you don't get any during the first year of employment, or do you have to, after 1 year, then you start getting them?
On the day that you accrue, that it's almost like you're accruing as you move on. So on your anniversary date, that's when you get the 20. Oh.
But what do you do in the meantime? The first 365 days.
I think probably.
If it's an emergency, you go in the hole.
Okay, you can.
It would just have to be approved, probably by Phil. You guys want to make sure it's the first sentence of this last thing. Yes, the first sentence.
To your second year.
Yes, sir.
I have one. Minor question.
Yes, sir.
This is addressed more to Phil than anybody else. When you're dealing with highly trained people like this, one of the things that they often want to discuss is comp time. Does BRA recognize comp time? Mm-hmm. I just didn't hear anything about it in here. So
it's in the policies. Yeah. And yes, we do. And we.
All I wanted to know.
Yeah. But comp time is particularly for the employees that are not the hourly employees. And if you've been doing a budget or whatever, the supervisor has the latitude to say you have X amount, or if you worked particularly long, when I take, come in at noon or whatever. So, yeah, that's done routinely.
Personnel policy update, agenda item number 7. The administration and audit committee hereby recommends to the board of directors of the Brazos River Authority the following resolution at its January 27, 2007 meeting. Be it resolved that the board of directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby makes the following amendments to the human resources policy to be effective February 1, 2007. Add new policies, 3.17 introductory period. The first 90 days of employment will be considered an introductory period. During this time, the employee will be trained, educated, and instructed in the duties and responsibilities of the position. At the end of the introductory period, the supervisor and the employee will meet to discuss the employee's progress and to determine whether the employee has demonstrated sufficient skills and abilities to perform in the position. In the event that the employee's performance meets the supervisor's expectations, the introductory period will terminate and the employee will be deemed a permanent employee. However, nothing in the designation of the employee as permanent shall in any way impact the at-will nature of the employment resolution, employment relationship, or grant any sort of contractual claim to the permanent position with Brazos River Authority. The Brazos River Authority will continue to maintain the at-will employment relationship and may dismiss an employee at any time with or without notice for any reason. In the event that the employee's performance fails to meet the supervisor's expectations, the supervisor may elect to terminate the employee or extend the introductory period for an additional period of time as determined appropriate to the supervisor. 5.12, on-call compensation. On-call duty is defined as being available for work beyond normal scheduled work hours. Employees must be available and able to report to work at all times and will respond to call-outs within the response time designated for the facilities that the employee is responsible to during on-call status. Any call-out time actually worked during the qualifying period of on-call duty shall be compensated at the employee's regular rate, subject to FLSA regulations. All on-call compensation earned will be paid on the last payroll of the quarter in which it is earned. It is a scheduled on-call employee's responsibility to find a qualified replacement in the event of illness or other unexpected events, which precludes that employee from attending their on-call responsibilities. The scheduled employee must then get approval from the superintendent or supervisor on-call, SOC, for the replacement. If the on-call employee is unable to fulfill their on-call responsibilities, the employee on-call shall forfeit their on-call compensation for the period of unavailability. 5.13, call-out compensation. A call-out is defined as a call that requires an employee to report to their normal workplace or other authority facility outside the employee's normal working hours. A call-out can be initiated by a SCADA system, auto-dialer, supervisor, or superintendent, but cannot be initiated by the employee themselves. If an employee on-call believes that they should report to an authority facility, they must first receive approval from the superintendent or supervisor on-call, SOC. An employee who must report to duty outside of the normal working hours will be compensated at the employee's regular rate, subject to FLSA regulations, and will receive additional call-out compensation for each call-out hour worked, minimum of 2 hours per episode. An additional call-out compensation earned will be paid on the last payroll of the quarter in which it was earned. In the event an employee is required to report to work outside of normal working hours, additional hours worked will include the time required to travel from the employee's home to the job site and return home. FLSA exempt employees are expected to work the hours necessary to complete work without additional compensation. Amended policies. 8.04, drug and alcohol tests. Change the number of drug tests an employee may be subject to from 5 to 4 and delete the reference to a return to duty drug test. 16.01, general travel expense payment policy. Change within 5 business days to within 30 business days. 17.09, 457 deferred compensation plan. Delete up to 25% of annual. Delete all references to an employer match. Add of service and clarify the amount of the employer contribution. 18.14, personal time off PTO policy. Delete effective May 1, 2002. Add according to the following table. Change the title in the table from max PTO carryover days to maximum balance PTO days. Add a row to the PTO chart to clarify new hire employees receive 0 PTO days during the introductory period. Clarify that PTO days will be awarded annually on the employee's full-time anniversary employment date. 18.15, termination of employment. Add, upon termination of employment for any reason, an employee will be paid 100% of all earned compensatory time and 100% of all earned on-call and call-out time. 19.01, general policy on holidays. Add to all regular full-time employees, add Veterans Day as an approved holiday, delete the number 10 from the first section.
Okay, any comments about the resolution that's been read? If not, we need a motion.
Motion.
I don't know your answer. Christian.
Yeah, are you on the committee, Bob?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Motion by Christian.
He wasn't called out last time.
Second by Bayon.
Was it?
Yes.
Director Hughes?
Yes.
Director
Baillon? Yes.
Director
Baker?
Yes.
Director Carrabba? Yes. Director Christian?
Yes.
Director Zaccanino?
Yes.
Chair Pena?
Yes.
The motion carries. I think that is ends the meeting of business for this committee. I need a motion to adjourn committee meeting. Motion by Bayon, second by Pena. You need to vote that on, you need to vote on that, okay, but that, the committee meeting of administration and audit committee is adjourned.
Before we start.